facing a giant. All of us are facing giants. And I don't know what giants you've got today, but I know the Lord's had this on my heart for a couple of weeks. I preached a message a few weeks ago at a revival service, facing your giants. Today, I want to follow up on that subject, but a different message. Taking down your giants. Taking down your giants. How many of you got a giant of debt? You say, man, if I could just get out of debt, boy, that would be my giant. How many got a giant of unhappiness? If I could just be happy, you know, you'd think you'd be happy with all the blessings that God has given you, but for some reason you're not happy. If I could just take that giant down of unhappiness. What about spiritual undiscipline? If I could just be more disciplined in my spiritual life, that is a giant. Why, I know, Pastor, I need to be reading my Bible more. I understand, Brother Pastor, I ought to be praying more. I know I read about witnessing, but for some reason and I don't find myself witnessing. How many are facing some giants? We all are facing giants. Your giant might be anxiety. You might be worried. I talked with a man yesterday that said he's going through a situation in his life where all of a sudden physically he feels these things come on him. And I don't know what it is, but I know a lot of people today do face things. And I thought about panic attacks, how the devil is real. And today's message is not going to be just a type of message that you'll probably grasp in just a few moments. Probably you're going to need to ponder the message. And this week, God is going to use it, I trust, to bring up to remembrance, facing and taking down the giants. How many today are facing giants of bitterness, unforgiveness? Something's happened in your life and you're having a hard time moving on, letting it go. Giants. We all face giants. But praise God, the giants can be taken down. Maybe your giant is temptation to lust or pornography, or drugs of some sort. I don't know what your giant is, but I know we all face giants. And I'll tell you what. Do you know the top fears last year? For example, I found this on Chapman University. Last year, for example, and I would say this year as well, number one, corruption of government officials. I mean to say that's a giant today. Come on. Yeah. And then number two, terroristic attacks on our nation. Our president right now is in Saudi Arabia. I know you know that. He's meeting with the king. He's going to speak with the Palestinian Authority as well as the Israeli Prime Minister, namely Benjamin Netanyahu and Mahmoud Abbas. And then he's going to be on his way to Rome. I thought about preaching on that today, but I think the Lord might want me to say that for maybe next week. So keep up with what's going on because we may be going there next week. However, thirdly, inadequate funds for the future. How many are facing those giants? Will I have enough money at the end of my life? Many of you are facing that giant right now. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but there's others you who are facing victim of terrorism. A man told me just the other day, his truck was broken in, his phone was stolen, his wallet was stolen up there in Conyers at the movie theater. He said everything was taken. I mean, doors locked and everything, right there in broad daylight. Terrorism. How many are fear of gun control? Our loved ones dying, Bud and Nancy and Melody and others, Nancy's cousin. I mean, loved ones dying, facing our fears. Number next, economic financial collapse, identity theft, loved ones seriously ill. These are big fears. These are giants. Affordable health care. This is certainly what we're focused on today as a nation. Is it going to change? What will it be like? Will it be good for the change? And most believe will. So we all are facing the giants, but the giants can be taken down. There's other phobias. For example, you can't hardly read this. I apologize about the blurriness. However, I can read it and listen. Insects, snake bites, birds, other animals, heights, tall buildings, bridges, mountains. People are afraid. Closed spaces. I'm not going to name any names about getting claustrophobia, but some of us could say, man, a cave, a tunnel, an elevator. Some are afraid of flying, being on the water or in the water. Some are terrified going to the dentist. How many like to go to the dentist, all right? Some are terrified of seeing blood or an injection or a shot or storms. I won't name any names back there, Sister Becky, but storms, thunder and lightning, and being in a crowd and visiting in the hospital, being in the hospital, traveling in buses. We all face giants. Killing our giants. That's what the Lord wants us to do today. Taking down your giant. I want to ask you to follow with me five steps in taking down your giant. Stand with me as we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Five steps taking down your giant. We all have these giants, but praise the Lord, God has given us provisions through His Son, through the Word of God, through the power of prayer, the blood of the Lamb, taking down the giants. And I'm praying today that there'll be some giants taken down right here in this place. And I'm believing the Lord's going to do it. And whether He does right here or not, I want to encourage you to take this tape. I hardly ever say that, but take the tape. Take it to somebody you know are facing some giants. And they're going to see by clearly through a exposition of the Word of God that these giants can be taken down. I want to use as a parallel passage today. I very seldom do that, but the Lord led me to use a parallel passage in the Old Testament. We won't look at it right now. I'll just simply allude to it. So if you're taking notes, you might want to write down 1 Samuel chapter 17. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. Needless to say, it was a church with many issues, like most every church I know of today. For example, in 1 Corinthians, he takes the roof off the church, as it were, and allows us to see the various needs within the church. And then 2 Corinthians, the epistle, he opens his heart and begins to describe in chapter 1 that God is a God of all comfort. Chapter 2, that we always can triumph in Christ. Chapter 3, we look as a open glass beholding as if the glory of the Lord are changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Chapter 4, we look not at the things which are seen, which are temporal, but the things which are unseen, which are eternal. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. And then chapter 5, the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge if he died, then we who live should no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us and rose again. And then not only that, but we are ambassadors for Christ. That is a brand new love with a brand new motivation, a brand new Lord with a brand new transformation, and a brand new life with a brand new destination. We come to 6 and 7 of chapter of the book of Corinthians. Notice I'm doing contextual study before we get to chapter 10. And then chapter 8 and 9, giving. It's more blessed to give than receive. That leads us to chapter 10. I said all that to bring us to chapter 10 of the book of Corinthians. If you're there, say amen. Look at verse 3. You're very familiar with this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That is, they're not fleshly. Sarx is the word carnal, which means flesh. But, notice, verse 4, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, what's a stronghold? A stronghold is a fortress. A stronghold is a castle. A stronghold, as it were, we'll see in a moment, is a inroad. The enemy can get very easily in anybody. I'm not talking about possession, but I'm talking about oppression. And then notice verse 5. He says, go back to verse 4. The weapons of a warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. There it is in our mind. A thought life, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, I love this, every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is powerful, beloved. I know you're facing a giant. Many of you are just going to play church today. You're not going to get real. You're going to be preoccupied about other things in your life, but God's going to zero in on you today. If you listen to Him, you will get victory as you're able to pull down the giants. Take them down. Father, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you that I'm nothing but your everything. I love you today and bless you today and pray, dear Lord, you'll break through the hearts. You'll illumine our minds. You'll quicken our wills, dear God, to be real with you. Be real with your spirit, Father, as you show us our life. And Lord, our intention is that we get free because you said the Son shall set you free. And Lord, I know that other people are battling with these giants that we all face. And dear God, we don't want to just come play church today and just show off our clothes and pat somebody on the back. And even though also, Lord, we do need encouragement, but God, we can do that at a bar somewhere, pat somebody on the back, or we can just shake somebody's hand, Lord, somewhere else in the world. We need you. We need your life-changing power. So God, we've been in the world, but now, Lord, we're in your presence, and Lord, we know you're in your presence wherever we're at. But dear God, it's just seemingly things are pulling on us these days, and Father, it's so easy for us to compromise and give in to the flesh and to the devil and the powers of darkness and live with strongholds, and dear God, struggle with being defeated day after day. And we ask now for your mighty power, Lord, that you would be hand lifted up and Satan will be bound from this place. And dear God, that you'll have the preeminence, and we give you glory now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated. 5 steps in pulling down, tearing down your stronghold. Let's go back to the segment, please. I want you to go back to, for a moment, 1 Samuel chapter 17. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, how many are familiar with David? Let me see your hand. Are you familiar with King David? Let me just tell you, there are 5 steps that you can take and I can take to take down the strongholds. And I gleaned that from the life of David. And he faced a giant named Goliath. Now we all face giants. Speaking of that, I remember hearing about 2 boys that were out camping. They were hiking in the woods. And one of the boys said to another, all of a sudden, a great big grizzly bear, biggest grizzly bear they've ever seen, meanest grizzly bear they've ever seen in all their life, he stepped out on a trail 50 yards from them. One boy looked at another boy and said, "Wow!" And the bear leaned his head down, started approaching them 2 boys. One boy dropped his backpack. He grabbed his tennis shoes out of his backpack as the grizzly bear started making his way to those 2 boys. He put on his tennis shoes real quick. The other boy said, "What are you doing? You can't outrun a grizzly bear." The boy looked at him, put it on his tennis shoes, said, "I don't have to outrun the grizzly bear. All I got to do is outrun you, all right? That's all I got to do." Hey, we all face giants, and we all face giants. And so David faced some giants. Here's the words I want to give you. Number one, if we're going to take down the giants, understand, number one, God gave me this word, preparation. There's a time of preparation. I say there's a time of preparation. If we're going to take down the giants of getting out of debt, if we're going to take out the giants of lust and lust of the flesh, if we're going to take out the giants of mind-altering drugs, if we're going to take out the giants of worry and fear and insecurity, if we're going to take out the giants of trying to be in control of everything and everybody around us and consequently being anxious about it, then number one, understand there's got to be a time of preparation, a time of preparation. I want you to clip off that, Katie, and bring back to the next slide. I'm going to go back and forth. The Lord had me to develop 2 different PowerPoints this week. And here's the second one right here. Bring up the second PowerPoint, please. And it has in regards to, if you would just minimize that one, and then click on the one that says spiritual warfare, please. And I appreciate you working that for us this morning. Spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. And so we're all facing spiritual warfare. I had it working yesterday, but for some reason, it's not working. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Spiritual warfare. Are you ready for battle? Are you ready for battle? Here's the strongholds right here. And there's a picture of a castle. The enemy comes in. You give him an inch, he'll take a mile. He'll begin to build up strongholds. He'll begin to put up images in our mind. And these are a result, by the way, often of generational sins and things that are passed on from generation to generation. You wonder, well, why am I gravitating toward this? Why am I always slipping here? Why is this always a temptation for me? Oh, yes, there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you might be able to bear it. How many know that we are in spiritual war? 1, 2, 3, 4. Others need to wake up. We are in war. You're in war right now. If you could just open your eyes and see the spiritual world in which we live, you would understand we are in a battle royal, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Hey, look, you need to know your enemy. If you're ever going to win the battle, you got to know your enemy. Secondly, you got to know the weapons against the enemy. Do you know the weapons against the enemy? Are you being defeated day after day? Third, you need to know the power of God is greater than the enemy. All right? Spiritual warfare. Your family's in warfare. This is not a picnic or playground for kindergarten children. This is a battlefield for soldiers. And it's not time to play church. It is not time to just go through the motions. Rather, it's time to really get serious and take down the stronghold. Take down the giant in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, and by the word of God. And the church said, some of y'all know this is a very important message, don't you? How many know this is important? Raise your hand. It's very important. And I know you're not making light of it. I'm not either. And I'm telling you, just as we are in a fight for our lives, we must resist, overcome, and defeat the enemy. Don't be passive about the enemy. Don't think that you're not facing an enemy. Oh, you should not magnify the enemy. No, you don't need to look under every bush to see if there's a demon under every bush, but you do need to know demons are real and angels are real and we are in a battle. How many know the battle's the Lord's? How many know that America is under the throes of the onslaught of demon forces? Well, what are we to do? Sit back and say, que sera, sera? No. What are we to do? Tuck tail and run? No. What are we to do? We're to be soldiers. We're to stand. We're to fight the good fight of faith. We're to lay hold of eternal life. We are to submit to God and resist the devil. When's the last time you resisted the devil? I said, when's the last time you resisted the devil? It's been a long time, hadn't you? You've just given in to the enemy, hadn't you? You've just cowed down to the enemy, hadn't you? You've just become passive, hadn't you? About the enemy wrecking havoc on your mind and playing his dirty seeds in your heart. Oh, but God says you don't have to keep doing that. Hallelujah. You can take down the enemy. And some of you today need to wake up and see if you're not in a royal battle with Satan and his forces, I promise you, your family is. Your family is. You and I need to stay clothed with the whole armor of God. We need to fight the good fight of faith. And we don't need to give in to the enemy. We need to take a stand today, submit to God, resist the devil, and say, thank God, Satan's overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And some of you marriages, maybe you're fighting some enemies. You don't need to fight each other. You need to fight the real enemy, Satan. And his demon forces, strongholds, are commanding, controlling, defining fortifications, heavily defended until they are in high places, the mind, that command everything below the body. Oh, yes. You see, this is a real deal. This is a real deal. And therefore, we are facing not, I'm not going to go through that due to time, breaking the strongholds of the enemy. God can break them. Oh, bless his name. Jesus has won the battle. Jesus is not defeated. But wait a minute. Don't you, listen to me, I love you, but don't you ever, ever, ever say, Satan, I command you to leave me. No, don't you ever say that. The devil will laugh at you. You better say it this way. In the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, and by the word of God, Satan, get behind me. If you don't say in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, the devil will chew you up and spit you out. You and I are no match for Satan. Do you understand that? I love you. Do you understand that? Don't ever say, I rebuke you, Satan. In fact, Michael the archangel in the book of Jude did not even rebuke Satan, but said, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. And if anybody had power, it was Michael the archangel. So we got to know our weapons. Have you been resisting the enemy? Submit to God. Resist the devil. He'll leave free from you. Break into strongholds. Some of our family is under attacks of the enemy. Our nation is under the attack of the enemy. Some of us need to get a hold of God today. Some of us need to shake off the worldly stuff and all the clattered and cluttered mind and our uncommitted heart and say, dear God, I want to be a soldier. I'm telling you, God needs you as a soldier. God wants you to be a soldier. Will you be a soldier today? Go back to the next slide, please. Click that off and go back to the very next slide. Number one, the first word is what? The first word is what? Good. Preparation. Say it with me. If we're going to take down strongholds, number one, the first step is preparation. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. I want to go back for a moment to the picture that I had just a moment ago, killing our giants. There's a time of preparation. What do I mean by that? If you go back and you don't have time right now, I'm going to have to, by the grace of God, use 1 Samuel as a narrative. 1 Samuel 17. What do I mean by narrative? In story form. I can see David, a little ruddy lad, teenager. Look at me, teenagers. Remember thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not and the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. How many believe young people can serve God while they're young? You don't take to be an adult to serve God. You can make a difference while you're young. David was just a young, in all indication, teenager at the time when God called him to the battlefield. First, preparation. What I mean? Look at David. Watch him now. I can see old David. He's on the backside of the pasture. What's he doing? Taking care of those woolly lambs. Taking care of those sheep. Bad, bad. You see old David? And I'll tell you what. David could have said this. He could have said, why in the world am I stuck here on the farm? Why am I having to clean up after all these sheep? These stupid, you do know sheep are stupid, don't you? You see elephants and bears and monkeys and the lions and tigers in the zoo. You never see a sheep. Why? Because a sheep needs a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. You say, Pastor, are you calling me stupid? No, I'm telling you, sheep are stupid. Hey, look, and they need a shepherd. And so, at any rate, David could have said, y'all don't miss this, what I just said. Forget what I just said, all right? Don't make a case over that and say, Pastor, you said sheep. And see, the devil will use stuff like that, and you can't get past what I just said and listen to what I'm fixing to say. Don't you know how Pastor is. I'll just skip that. And if it offends you, just get over it and say, Pastor, you're stupid, all right? Anyway, hey, look, second point is this. David could have said, I'm tired of taking care of these sheep. I want to get out there to the battle. My brothers are out there to the battle. Why do I got to sit back here and play with these woolly-headed sheep? You know why you got to do that, David? Because it's a time of preparation. Oh, what do you mean, Pastor? I'm telling you, God's got you in a time of preparation right now. You don't realize it, but if I could just get another job, and if I could just get another child, and if I could just get a new house, if I could just get out of this situation, well, could it be God has you in a time of preparation? I suppose so. If I could just get out of this debt, if I could just get another spouse, preparation. I've got to go through a time of preparation before God is going to use you in any degree whatsoever. So, what are you doing right now that you feel like is insignificant? Oh, it's a time of preparation. What I mean by that? I'll tell you what I mean by that. David faced a bear and a lion. David had them sheep. Now, don't miss this. David's just a ruddy lad. He's on the outside back there in the farm. Here comes a bear. Here comes a lion. I don't know last time you faced a bear or lion. I'm going to tell you something. Those are mean creatures, a bear and a lion. I don't know if I'd stand up to a lion with just a knife in my hand, would you? How about if you had a sling and a stone? Would you do it with a sling and a stone? Would you do it with a sling and a stone? I don't know. David had to learn, you know. David said, well, you know, I'm back here with these sheep. And by the way, I got this in the Valley of Elah. Say that with me. Valley of Elah. You know where this battle took place between David and Goliath? The Valley of Elah. I was there a few years ago. I looked down on the ground. I said, dear God, there's got to be a rock somewhere that David might have used to kill the giant. I saw this rock. It's a smooth stone. It was like God said, there it is right there. I reached down and picked it up. Brought it all the way from Israel today to show you there's some smooth stones. And brother, this thing's pretty heavy. And I want to tell you something, my brother. You get somebody that knows how to sling that stone. Buddy, they were skilled at it. David's learning some preparation on the backside of the desert. He's got that stone and that sling in his hand. That lion's big. That bear's big. But you throw a stone 70 miles an hour and you get hit right there in the forehead, you get pretty accurate at it. Old David was probably practicing out there on the backside of the farm, and that lion and that bear would come up around his sheep. Woo! He'd throw that stone, and man, he was able to kill he killed bears and lions all in preparation. Now you can see why he was ready to face the giant. He didn't just show up. God prepared him. Can you hear me? God is preparing you. Look at me now. Those troubles you're having, those trials you're going through, those heartaches, those issues and things that you're going through that are uncomfortable and are testing your faith, it's all in preparation because God's got some greater things for you to do. I said God's got some bigger giants for you to fight. But you got to go through preparation. You got to go through preparation. Oh, really? Yep. And so David understood as the lion came up, he had to take care of him. And thus he learned how to use a sling and a stone. And therefore, the next step is from preparation to rejection. Don't miss it. The second step in taking down our giants is rejection. What do you mean, Pastor? Here's what I mean. David, watch him now. Look at him. Papa Jesse says, son, I want you to take some corn and some supplies over your brother. Go get some corn. Go get some supplies. Take it over there to your brother, your brothers. Well, where are they at? They're over there in the Valley of Elah. What are they doing? The Philistines are fighting them. Here, son, I'll get somebody else to take care of the sheep right now. Just take these supplies for your brothers. Yes, sir. There goes David. He gets the supplies. He gets ready to go over there to his brothers. And first thing you know, he spots them off at a distance. He sees an army on one side of the mountain. Look like another army on the other side of the mountain. Inside, between, there's a valley. It's the Valley of Elah. E-L-A-H. Elah. And David looks and he says, that's the biggest man I've ever seen. That is a humongous of a man. And he eyes that giant named Goliath. A massive man. Some suggest 9 feet, nine inches tall. Have you ever seen a man 9 feet? You just think these basketball players 8 feet. What's the biggest basketball player, Josh? 7'6", 9'9", buddy. Man, he could be a guard and a tackle and a tight end on a football team. Somebody say amen. David sees him. But wait a minute. David sees God is bigger than him. I said, God's bigger than him. How big's your God? Hey, and here comes David. Rejection. David's looking at sizing up the situation. He sees that uncircumcised Philistine. Give me a man that'll come and fight with me, said Goliath. And all the Israelites, you know what they did? Scared as rabbits. Man, they were shaking in their boots. David sizing up the situation. Who is this man, this taunting and intimidating the armies of God? Well, he gets to his brothers. Here you go. Here's some corn and supplies from Dad. And his brothers, two older brothers, three older brothers, Eliab and his other two brothers, they look and say, David, what are you doing here? David wants to be a hero. David wants to be a hero. David, get back to them sheep. That's where you belong, David. Go on along, David. Go on along, David. Get back to taking care of sheep. We're men. We had to take care of sheep too. But now we're in the battle and you need to get back to the farm. I'm paraphrasing, but that's literally what they said to David. How many believe that? Don't miss what I'm fixing to say. If God's got you up against some giants, you can rest assured somebody's going to try to talk you out of it. Somebody's going to try to talk you out of it. Don't believe that. You're getting too serious about this Bible stuff. You start talking about spiritual warfare. You've gone overboard with that stuff. Hello, open your Bible, read the New Testament. You can't come across understanding we are in a battle. If you're a dedicated Christian, now if you're a little baby Christian, that might be too much at one time. But once you grow up in the Lord, you realize we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. But people are going to try to talk you out of what God calls you to do. Y'all hear me? I got to say it again, because I don't know if it really registered. People will try to talk you out of what God's called you to do. Don't miss this now. No disrespect, okay? Your own family will try to talk you out of doing what God's called you to do. I said your own family will say, you're getting too much in this prayer stuff and reading your Bible instead of doing this and that and the other. And I'm not talking about neglecting the things y'all do around your house. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about you start getting serious about serving God and your family's going to say you're a fanatic now. And your family's going to say no, no, no. And just like Peter, Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. But you know what? I want to be truthful with you because I know. I understand. Some of you right now aren't serving God and fighting giants because you would rather not be rejected by your family and please your family rather than please God. That hurt, but sometimes that's the case. I'm not talking about neglecting your family now. There can be extremes, but I'm just saying this. Rejection, rejection. Get back to the farm. That leads to step number three. Step number three is not only preparation and rejection, but step number three is intimidation. The devil's intimidation. There will be a time of intimidation. Satan is going to try to intimidate you. Hey, let me ask you a question. How many of y'all been going through some spiritual warfare? Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know you have. And I'll tell you what, if God's got something for you to do, you can rest assured. And even if he doesn't, I would rather fight the enemy and really be engaged in spiritual warfare than go along with the enemy and be a tool in the devil's hand. There's no option, folks. Option B is not a good option to serve the devil. Don't even go there. There's not a good option. You are a soldier. You're called to be a soldier. We're called to fight the good fight of faith. And if we're not fighting against the enemy, we're fighting with the enemy. Who are you fighting with? I said, who are you fighting with? I said, who are you engaging in over your children? Mamas and daddies, young people? You're in a battle. If you could only open your spiritual eyes, you would see the intimidation of the enemy. David, you can't do this. That leads to step number four. Step four is what I call suggestions. Step one is what? Preparation. Step two is what? Rejection. Step three is what? Intimidation. And just like Goliath was intimidating all of the Israel armies, David said, there is a cause. I said, there's a cause. Say that with me. There is a cause. One more time. One more time. One more time. Do you believe there's a cause? Do you believe the gospel needs to be going forward? Do you believe we're fighting against the enemy here in our community? Do you believe that people are still lost, going to hell if they don't get saved? There is a cause. Do you believe the enemy is deceiving people with drugs and alcohol and with illicit sex and homosexuality and lesbianism and all kinds of stuff? It doesn't matter. We're all sinners, and there is a cause. There's a cause. New Rocky Creek, there's a cause. There's a cause, right? David said, there's a cause. Let's don't leave this giant intimidating us. Number four is what? Number four step is what? Suggestion. Suggestion. I know that's not a good word. It's the only word I can think of. Suggestion. What I mean by that? David is in preparation. David is facing rejection. David is... is going through intimidation, but David now is going to go through some suggestions. What I mean? King Saul. David says, I'm going to take this giant. Saul says, wait a minute, David. You're going to do what, David? I'm going to fight this giant. David. That man has killed men with his bare hands. He is a warrior. He is a bad dude. David, you know who you're talking about now. He's killed men for years. You going to fight him? Yes, sir. Well, let me make a suggestion. There's where I get the word suggestion. Let me make a suggestion. Here's my helmet. Try it on. At least you can do take this. My sword, take this. Take a few of my weapons with you. At least if you're going to fight this, it's going to be a mixed match. You're the underdog. Wait a minute. David's thinking, one plus God's the majority. I remember our fourth grade teacher reading us this story when I was in the fourth grade. I remember the impact it had in the fourth grade. David fighting a giant. Watch this. David, put the helmet on, David. Have you ever played football? Anybody ever played football? Have you ever had a helmet that was too big for you? Any of you men know what I'm talking about? Had a helmet that was too big for you? You put it on and man, the thing swallowed you. I remember when I was playing recreation ball, first year ever, 9 years old. It was for 10 and 11 years old. They let me squeeze in. I was really too young, but let me squeeze in. They had big pads and helmets and stuff. And they said, here's your helmet. I put it on. Man, the thing swallowed me. I couldn't even see out of it, let alone tackle somebody. Hey, that's right, David. That's what David was probably. David had a big old helmet on, and he's all bulky with his stuff. And David said, wait a minute, Saul. I can't use that. He said, and Saul said, well, what are you going to do? How are you going to fight that giant? I hear David say, Saul, I got my sling, and I got a stone. I got my sling, I got my stone, and I got my God. Somebody ought to shout. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Somebody ought to say, I've got my sling, I've got my stone, but I've got my God. If God is for us, who can be against us? Hey, listen. God can take down any giant. You believe that? Taking down the giants. That leads us to final step. First step, preparation. Second step, rejection. Third step, intimidation. Fourth step, suggestion. Fifth step, execution. There it comes. David sizing it up. I'm telling you, God had been preparing David. He's fixing to take down this giant and strongholds that are in our life. Thank God they can be taken down. Oh, yes, David sized up the situation. The Bible says he goes over there and he grabs five smooth stones. Somebody said one for Goliath and four for his brothers. I say he just needed one. That's all he needed. Now, keep in mind, David had already killed a bear. David already killed a lion. And look. You think that this is a man, he's just like facing a bear or a lion, a wide open space. David had already learned the accuracy and the velocity of slinging a stone. It was no big problem for David. David was aiming right between his eyes, and he gets closer, and Goliath says, you come to me like I'm a dog. And he said, I'll feed you to the birds of the air. And David said, my God's going to deliver you in my hand. And there he comes, closer and closer, and Goliath had never seen anybody
anybody like a little ruddy lad with a sling and with a stone, but with a great big God. And David lets that stone fly, and the stone hits the giant right between the eyes. I don't know if you've been hit with a rock traveling at no telling how fast miles per hour, right between your eyes. It'll knock anybody down. It'll stun anybody. Oh yes, if men can hit somebody with their hands and knock somebody down, you better believe a stone flying with such velocity and speed hitting the right place of the head would knock somebody down in a heartbeat. And David knocked the giant down, taking down your giant. David got the sword and went over there as the giant was probably discombobulated, disoriented, yea, knocked out, I don't know. But he took that sword and he cut the head of the giant off. He took down the giant. He took down the giant. I'm telling you, you can take down the giants in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, by the word of God. I'm glad my God's not a weak God. He's not a passive God. He's not a lame God. He's a God who's mighty. He's a God who's powerful. He's a God who can drive the devil back. He can take the ground the enemy's taken. He can replay and restore unto us the joy that the God of salvation has given us. Some of us tonight, today, right now, need to take down the giants in the name of Jesus. And the execution. The giants have got to go. Breaking the strongholds of the enemy. Breaking the strongholds of the enemy. Taking down the giants. Stand with me, would you?